A special thanks to Jim and the Wind Ensemble. It's my turn, right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know if I was getting ready to jump in there and hold up progress or something along the way. But good morning. Hey, look around. Give somebody a smile and a wave, a really good one. Like I say, don't fake it. Just one that you're meaning. Wave to the choir because they get to look at you guys. Choir, smile at the crowd. Smile for the camera. If you're watching as part of our online audience, we want to welcome you as well. Today, we're so glad that you have chosen to join us, and we're praying that the Lord's just going to help us today as we prepare to worship Him in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. We're so glad to have you along and have you on board, and continue to keep Ernie in your prayers as he recovers. Ernie, you're probably watching somewhere along the way, but brother, we love you. We're praying for a speedy, and as pain-free of a recovery as possible. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time of worship together today. Father, as we come to you once again, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to come into your house, Lord, to gather with like-minded believers, to open up your word, and Lord, to hear from you. So Father, for these moments that we have before we enter the time of coming around your word, Lord, these are times of worship as well. We're getting ready to lift up our voices in song for you. Father, I pray that instead of it being from our lips, it truly would be from our heart. Lord, prepare our hearts to meet you in this place and to worship you today. And Lord, as always, we ask that you truly give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to each and every one of us in a way that will draw us close to you. As always, Lord, we pray if there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that there would be rejoicing of all the saints in heaven because that person gave their heart, soul, and life over to you. So, Father, bless this time as only you can. Guide us in all that we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 14, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Thank you.
version of this. So we're looking forward to seeing "We Have Heard the Joyful Sound, Jesus Saves."
I know a lot of us grew up singing that old hymn in church, didn't we? Y'all remember, how many of y'all remember that? That was a staple when you were growing up, just like me, and brought back a lot of good memories, as well as the opportunity to see how that particular song was one that just inspired people. You would see people sing that song differently. You know what I'm saying, or is it just me? That is just one of those that that people would sing differently, and every time I even hear the beginning of that, it just it makes me smile just to wonder and think about. A lot of those folks are dear saints that are with the Lord right now. But today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, Hebrews chapter 12, and we're just going to deal with a couple of verses today, just particularly. Because I think each and every person, although often we don't like to admit it, we will find ourselves in the predicament that I want to talk about. I titled this morning's message, "Overcoming Spiritual Stagnation." Now, we know what stagnation is, don't we? Yeah, if you've ever been around water or lived around water or been in certain places or at the rate it's been raining, there's always a puddle somewhere. And you know what it's like when something goes stagnant, particularly water. When something stagnates, what usually happens to it? What does it cause? It stinks. There you go. It's all right. Listen, you Baptists can say stink. It's all right. It stinks. We don't like anything that is stagnant. We don't like stagnant water. We don't like stagnant agendas. We don't like stagnant lives by any stretch of the imagination. And one of the things that often happens, and if you follow the Lord for any amount of time, you're going to find that you can be prone to stagnate in your relationship with Christ. Your walk with the Lord all of a sudden is not what it used to be. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because everybody in here would probably need to raise your hand. You probably wouldn't, but you would probably need to raise your hand because we've all been in that situation. And as Christians, we all desire to have a strong and a steadfast walk with Christ. However, there are times when we may feel stuck or stagnant in our relationship with Him. You ever felt stuck? Yeah, stagnation is just kind of one of those fancy words to use. I like to use the word stuck. You know what stuck means? It won't go anyway. It won't go forward. It won't go backwards. It don't go left. It don't go right. It's just stuck. So today I ask you, what is the Holy Spirit telling you in regard to your life about your walk with Christ when it comes to whether or not it is a stagnant walk or whether you're on the top of your game. Now, it's interesting that as we go through our time and our walk with the Lord, you can have times in your spiritual walk where you have been on the spiritual mountaintops, right? Hopefully, everybody can say that. You've understood what it's like to be on that spiritual mountaintop. But then some time passes, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in the valley below. And often, you sit back and question not only yourself, but you question God. How did I get here? Why am I in this dark place at this particular moment? And in those cases, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to rely on and trust in Christ more than you ever have in your life. You're not going to turn your back on him, and your faith is going to show in an incredible way. Or you are going to turn and walk away from him. Or you're going to be disappointed in Christ. And I think all of us at some point along our journey have been in all of those places along the way. You know, it's when God gives us victory in the midst of the valleys that we can truly celebrate when we're on the mountaintops. You ever have those times when it just seems like nothing in your life is going right? I was actually laughing this morning because just how things go. Yeah, Satan tries his best to make sure that we're not in the right frame of mind to worship, doesn't he? I mean, he's going to do that. You will maybe have a little tiff at home. You might get in a situation where you will have a problem with all the glorious drivers that are around you on your way to church. Yeah, you'll want to shake your fist. You'll think of things that don't please Jesus. You'll get here and somebody has moved something, or somebody's taken your seat or something. Yeah, we get all kinds of things. Satan will throw every last one of those at you just simply so that you will not focus upon what the Holy Spirit wants to tell you in the midst of a worship service or in through the midst of a song or some other act of worship that we will do in the Lord's house this morning. And what happens is it's so much easier to give in to those things when we're stuck. Yeah, I've told you a bunch of times that I often ask the question when somebody will come to me as a pastor and they say, man, something's just not right here. I've told you before, the first question I always ask them, how's your devotional life? I don't know. It's, and if they're honest, they're like, well, it's really just not good at all. Well, the question is, when you walk with the Lord and you realize that the Lord is the one who is in control of everything, then you don't allow things to bother you or get in your way when it comes down to his communing with you. It doesn't happen. I mean, don't get me wrong, you'll go, oh, here we go again. Well, you know what? the sink is still going to be leaking when I get home from church. The dryer is still going to be blown up when I get back. I'll turn the power off. I'm not going to let it get to me. And then, you see, what we usually do, though, is we usually let it bother us. And then you're sitting in church going, somebody told me they had dryers on sale over at Best Buy. And then what are you doing during church? We're going to go to Best Buy after church, and we're going to see if we can go ahead and secure this thing. You have missed everything that God wanted for you. And we've all done it, every last one of us. Folks, that's the reason why we have to protect it. Satan doesn't really care if we get together. What he cares about is when we get together, if the Lord is magnified. So if he can distract us, if he can keep us from doing that, then he has victory. You know, when I'm a born-again believer, Satan can't have me, and he knows that. So what does he try to do? He tries to make me look like an idiot in my spiritual walk. He tries to make sure that my influence for Christ is not there. And he does the same thing for each and every one of you. He tries to distract us. Y'all probably all seen the cartoons before where somebody's talking. It's like, squirrel! They're just real easily distracted. Satan's doing everything he can to distract you this morning from drawing close to the Father. He's trying to distract you so that you don't hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. You see, I know this. The Word of God never, ever, ever returns void, ever. So let's look at it today. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm just going to look at the first two verses. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come into your house, we just ask that you truly help us to focus upon you today. Lord, may the distractions be run completely out of this building. Lord, you have a word for us today. Whether we are on the mountaintop of celebration with you, or Lord, whether we are in the valley below in our walk. Lord, whether it's extremely light or extremely dark in our walk, you are speaking to us today. Give us ears truly to hear what the Spirit says to us. Use this, your servant, for these moments in time, Lord, that you might truly be exalted and that you might be lifted up. So, Father, for these few moments, speak to our hearts and give us courage to react as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, a moment ago, we were talking about being stuck in our walk, being stuck in that circumstance or situation. And folks, when that happens, you find yourself in a rut. Now, you've heard my definition of a rut. A rut is a grave that's opened up on both ends. You know, by the way, sometimes habits are good. Sometimes traditions are good. There's nothing wrong with those. But when we let them dictate and control what we are and who we do, and there's nothing new anymore, then I think at that point, there's some changes that need to be made. We need to make them in our lives. I remember that I have a Bible. Matter of fact, this one's one of them that I write in. I mean, I'm like a graffiti artist in the Bible. I mean, there's stuff written all in and through and underlined. And at times when I had my color phase where I would do things in different colors, then I'd get tired of that and I'd just use a ballpoint pen. Then I went to the felt tip pen. Then I went to the highlighters that don't bleed through the page. And I got all kinds of stuff written down in this Bible. How many of y'all like that? My people, right on it. Let me tell you, that's a good thing because it can remind you of things that the Holy Spirit taught you along the way when you come across that passage again. Now, let me give you the other side of it. That can also be a bad thing. Why? Because it can remind you of the same thing that the Holy Spirit taught you in the past. And all of a sudden, we automatically go back to the same thing God taught us. And I want to tell you, he wants to teach us something new and fresh. His mercies are new and fresh every day. So when I started with my discipleship group, I said, you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to use this Bible. I'm going to get me a new Bible. And I'm going to, again, start writing in that thing like crazy. But you know why I wanted to have a new Bible? Because I didn't want to be necessarily stuck in the rut of what the Lord had taught me in the past. I wanted him to teach me something new and fresh. And let me tell you what was really neat about my experiment and my experience was that I would sit there and write in that Bible, and then every now and then I would go back and I would look in my old Bible, and the things I had written in it were completely different than the things I had written in it before. God's wanting to give you some new experiences. Nothing wrong with the old ones. Put them here. But don't let them keep you from teaching you what it is that God wants you to know. Part of the reason we get stuck is that we get in that same vein all the time. So what does that mean? To be stuck in our walk with Christ means to feel as though we're not making any progress or growth in our relationship with him. Most people don't want to admit that. Most people want to feel like the spiritual giant that maybe people think they are. Nobody likes to be stuck. Let me give you that definition again. To be stuck in our walk with Christ means to feel as though we are not making any progress or growth in our relationship with him. I don't care if you've walked with Jesus for 5 days or 50 years. We still need to be making progress in our spiritual growth. Don't think that you have ever attained. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, look, not that I have attained. I'm like you. I am still working. I am still striving to draw close to the Lord, to walk with him, to learn through those circumstances and situations, to realize that when I had a tough time in my life, God showed up And you know what? When I have a tough time again, I can count on God showing up again and again and again. Most of us are worriers. Confession's good for the soul. Where are my worriers? Look around you. Look at all these filthy heathen sinners in the house of the Lord today. Worriers. God says it's a sin to worry, doesn't he? But what else does he say? He says, you don't need to worry because I am going to take care of you. All right, and y'all gonna get mad at me now, you worriers. See, I'm preaching to myself too. You know why? Because if we worry, that means we're not trusting God to handle our situation. And see, sometimes it's not that God doesn't handle our situation. We get a little uptight when God doesn't handle our situation the way we think God should handle it, right? That's the problem. We don't like God's routing in our lives many, many times. But yet, his routing is for a purpose. I like it, you know, if you remember when Israel left Egypt, they were on their way on a journey and they didn't go the short route. They didn't take the short distance. But remember what God said? God said, no, if we go that way, they're liable to see, you know, enemies and turn and run back. So I might take you a longer way to get you where I'm going, but there's reasons why God does that in our lives. Sometimes when we get through them, we look back and we see that hindsight is 20/20 vision. We understand why God did it. There are things in my life that I don't know why God sent me over the river and through the woods, and I may not know on this side of glory, but I'll know when I meet him. I'll know why. But that's what being stuck in your walk means. Sometimes we may become comfortable in our spiritual routine and fail to actively pursue a deeper relationship with Christ. Did you get that? That bears repeating. Sometimes we may become comfortable in our spiritual routine and we'll fail to actively pursue a deeper relationship with Christ. We are creatures of habit, aren't we? We don't like change. We get all out of sorts and we get all out of... We all have our routines and we all have our habits. Yeah, I've said before, what would happen if we came in and just changed the worship service order all the way around? Does that mean we're ungodly if we do things in a different order? No, but where are my people that would come unglued if we did that? Come on, be honest. Oh, no, it's not order. You're my list makers and note takers, aren't you? My list makers and my note takers. I drive you people crazy. And you people drive me crazy. List makers and note. And here's the thing. We all need each other. But here's the thing you got to understand. I don't think that our worship service today at Central Baptist Church looked like it did when Peter, James, and John held a worship service. I don't think it looked that way. Does that mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't show up? Absolutely not. Holy Spirit will show up. But what happens is we can become so in tune with tradition that we miss what God wants for us. I've used this example many times because it's one that's true. As a driver, that's something I've always loved to do. It's probably what I would call my second talent on this planet is driving, and I love to do that. And when I drive, I am focused. I kind of have a laser focus. Some of you all know that because you've waved at me going down the road before and I didn't wave back and I irritated you because you're like, that preacher didn't wave at me. Let me tell you why the preacher didn't wave at you. He didn't see you. He was busy watching the traffic in front of him or making sure that the dog on the side of the road didn't run up. I was focused on what I was doing. So it wasn't that I didn't, man, if I see you, I'll throw my hand out the sunroof. I'll stick my head out the window and wave at you. But I'm focused on what I am doing. And because I'm so focused on what I'm doing, there are times that when I have gotten in the car and ridden with someone, you know, if Blake's driving his truck, I will never drive it. He won't let me. So I sat in the passenger seat. And I've gone down the road and said, when did they build that house? Jan will say, about 7 years ago. What? When did they put this store here? What's that? You see, the problem is I was missing what was going on in the periphery because I was too busy concentrating on something. Not that that's a bad thing, but it can be a bad thing when you miss all the things that God put in your way for you to be able to see. We don't want to do that spiritually. People would say, well, preacher, give me an example of that in the light of a church setting, okay? You know what? Do you realize you can be too busy serving that you're not worshiping? How many of you have ever been there before? Where you had to say, look, yeah, I love kids and I enjoy the kids, but I am back here three times on Sunday, every Sunday. I need a break. You do. That's when other people need to step up and share in that joy. I'm not going to be one of them, but no, I'm just kidding. I will. But you can be so busy serving the Lord that you are not worshiping the Lord. I always like to go back to Isaiah's vision when we talk about those things. And Isaiah's vision, and remember it says that he saw the six-winged seraphim. And it says the six-winged seraphim went and got a coal off of the altar and singed his lips. But he was descriptive about this seraphim. He said he had six wings. It said, with twain, that means two. Bible speak for two. It said, with two wings, he covered his eyes. He covered his face. With two wings, he covered his feet. And with two wings, he flew. Okay? Do you realize covering of the face was an act of worship? Covering the feet was an act of worship. So out of those six wings that God gave the seraphim, four of them were used for worship and two of them were used for service. And that was plenty. We didn't read Isaiah saying the angel was a little unsteady as he flew over to the altar. He didn't say he crashed and burned. It was exactly enough to accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. So where is our worship in light of our service? Now, don't y'all get up today and say, well, the preacher told me to quit serving. No, we still need you to serve, but we don't need you to serve every single time and have it pull you out of the worship service with God's people and hearing God's word to be able to take a break. That's why as a pastor, I don't get a lot of chance to do that. But when I'm on vacation, I get to go and sit in a church where I'm anonymous, and that's kind of cool. Nobody knows I'm a preacher. They don't expect me to preach or pray or anything else. I get to go be like one of y'all at a worship service. And it's actually pretty cool. It's kind of neat to hear another perspective. You see, the only people in the church that don't have a pastor are the pastors. So we need that as well. But listen, are we so comfortable in our spiritual routine that we fail to actively pursue and actively deepen our relationship with the Father? So how do we apply that? Why don't you reflect on your own spiritual journey at this point? Are there areas that you feel that you're stagnant? Are there areas that you feel like you're lacking? And if you do, as the Holy Spirit has placed them on you, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any hindrances that are in your walk. What is it that's stopping you from being what God wants you to be? Because I will promise you that if there's something that can stop you, Satan knows what it is. And I can promise you he's going to utilize it in your life. So the second thing, how can a new perspective help us to overcome spiritual stagnation? You see, a new perspective should emphasize the importance of personal responsibility and accountability in our relationship with Christ. Those are two words that I feel like in our society today that are waning. And those two words were what? Responsibility and accountability. We need to accept those things in our walk. We need to have responsibility. The Lord requires some things of us, doesn't he? Now, I think we've gotten to the point where we've made Christ easy believism. You know, oh, well, you know, ask the Lord into your heart. And, you know, listen, let me tell you something. To follow Jesus is difficult. I mean, it's one of the hardest things that you will ever do is to follow Christ in the manner in which you should. So you got to have not only responsibility, what are you doing to draw closer to Jesus? I've said this before, and I will say it a million times, because I still remember, I think it was Pastor David was doing a Bible study, and he was talking about, you know, feeding yourself. Yeah, little babies don't feed themselves, do they? You take the spoon, you go, yeah. Then what happens is they get to a certain age, they start to eat. Well, their diet changes as well. The same should happen in your spiritual walk. And I still remember what Pastor David said. He said, yeah, you've seen pictures all the time. How many of y'all have ever seen a picture of like a shepherd and he's got a bottle and he's bottle feeding a little lamb in his arms? How many of y'all have ever seen that? Okay. Now, according to Pastor David, have you ever seen a 600-pound sheep sitting on a shepherd's lap and the shepherd cramming grass down his throat? You ever seen that? No. You know why? Because there comes a point and a time where the sheep need to learn to feed themselves. How do you feed yourself spiritually? You get into the Word of God on your own. Listen, if your spiritual diet is dependent upon what you get on Sunday morning, you're starving to death. You're starving to death. If you only ate one time a week, you would come in here starving to death. The same holds true spiritually. If you are not feeding yourself, you need to take some responsibility to feed yourself the Word of God daily. Not just depend on everyone else. A new perspective that emphasizes personal responsibility as well as accountability in your relationship and your walk with the Lord will change things. How do we interpret that? See, we're responsible for our own spiritual growth. And we must actively seek to deepen our relationship with Christ. I always like what happens, and people will say this about preachers all the time. It's been said about me. Well, I just can't go there because I'm not being fed anymore. Well, pick up a fork and start eating. Pick up a knife and cut that beef up. Quit counting on being spoon-fed. See, that's what I love about discipleship. There's responsibility and there's accountability. Unfortunately, today's churches don't view it that way. Well, let's make you feel good. Maybe if we blow some smoke in here so the lights look like they're transmitting through some sort of conduit, maybe that'll make y'all feel better. Maybe that'll make a generation feel better about Jesus. Maybe if we turn it up so loud we don't have the frequency by which to be able to even hear what's going on, but you can feel it in your chest. I don't get it. Where is our responsibility? We're not supposed to be consumer Christians. It's not about what you can do for me. Yeah, church, what can you do for me? It's about what can I do for my church? God has given every single one of you different talents and abilities and responsibilities, and us working together, we will see the glory of God shine through. Let me make you a promise. I can't play those horns like they did. I can't even get a sound out of a horn as clear and clean as they did. But here's another thing. God didn't call me to do that. And I'm okay with it. Do I sit back at times and go, Lord, why didn't you give me some musical ability and talent? Yeah, I do. And I even try on my own to get it. Not very well. But you know, God has given Roy an expression. Y'all have heard it before. God tells me, Roy, stay in your lane. This is what I called you to do. Do it to the glory of God. But we are responsible for our own spiritual growth. And we've got to seek to. Are you intentionally seeking to deepen your relationship with the Father? By the way, when you came in, did you come in because that's what we do on Sunday? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything because I know that a large majority of us did. Well, that's just what we do on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. It's routine and what. Did you come anticipating the opportunity to meet the Lord in this place today? Because here's the really cool part. Are you ready for this? if you came with anticipation to meet the Lord here, you will. You will. If you came listening for the Holy Spirit, you will hear Him. I promise. And see, what happens is too often we come in with all the clutter in our lives. You know what one of my worst problems is? Clutter. You know what one of the things I hate worse than anything is? Clutter. If you've walked into my office and looked at my desk, you've not looked at my desk because you can't see it. There's so much stuff. And every now and then, when I have a moment, I'll take about a half a day and I'll go through all the papers and I'll throw stuff away and it'll look good and I will feel great. Next week, it looks just like it did before I started. Satan is trying to clutter your life so that you won't hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. Folks, you and I have to take responsibility for our spiritual growth by making intentional efforts to study God's Word, by making intentional efforts to pray, by making intentional efforts to participate in church activities. Are we doing those things? I know there's a lot of times we sit back and say, well, yeah, there was a time when I did. Well, what about now? Are you participating in the mission opportunities given? Man, you just had a great opportunity earlier this month to go right up the street up here. It didn't take much time or anything else to be a life-changing agent in the lives of children and have your life changed as well to be around them as used by the Father. Did you take advantage of those opportunities? A lot of you did, man. I was impressed. 39 people. 39 participated in that. That's great. We got more than 39 people here. Now, I know some of you say, well, I can't do that. Listen, can you smile at a kid and say good morning, good afternoon, good evening? Can you carry a napkin to a table? Could maybe you feed a child their meal that can't feed themselves their meal? Oh, well, preacher, that's not usable by... Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is usable by the Father. You've got to get involved, but you've got to get into the Word of God so that the Word of God can get inside of you. Why are we so lazy? It takes effort. And people say, man, well, I tell you, I just don't like it. Listen, if you struggle with it, come and talk to us, because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you in one of our discipleship groups, and I will make you a promise that you will see life differently after a couple of weeks of being with those men or women. Mari's got a women's group. Steve's got a discipleship group. I've got a discipleship group. And don't let that scare you. Because see, when I was growing up, I thought, discipleship, ugh, that sounds like it's painful. Man, you try to pull those guys apart. You try to pull those women apart. You get in there and you start getting into the Word of God together. It is one of the coolest things that you can ever imagine. You see, it's like what Sunday school means to a lot of folks who've been in Sunday school all their life. That's your small group. That's a more intimate setting where you can learn the Word of God, where you can learn from one another. And you're missing those opportunities when you're not present. Take responsibility. Make that effort. Get in God's Word. And also seek accountability from trusted brothers and sisters in Christ to help you stay accountable with your walk. One of the things I love about our discipleship is, you know what the first question is? Did you read your 5 chapters this week? And there's times before when I'm like, hey, did you read your 5 chapters? Yeah. Did you just lie to me? It's accountability. We always do better when we know somebody is watching. And by the way, we're not asking you to read the whole Bible from cover to cover in a week. It's one chapter a day for 5 out of the 7 days of the week. We even give you a break. And I promise it'll change your life. You want to know more about that? Let me know. The third thing, what does it mean to run with perseverance the race marked out for us? We read that in our scriptural text. What does that mean? See, the Christian journey is often likened to a race in the Bible. Running with perseverance means to continue pressing on in our walk with Christ. Even when we are faced with challenges, and even when we are faced with obstacles, it's about not quitting. You know, sometimes in your spiritual life, you've been beat up and you need to sit there with your hands on your knees and you need to take a breath. But you know what needs to happen? There needs to be another brother or sister right there going, look, don't quit on me. Don't stop on me. Listen, take a breath. I'm staying with you. But we got to pick it up and we got to move forward and we got to reach the finish line together. And what's the finish line? When you see Jesus, that's the finish line. What about my age? Well, you know what? The Lord may change what he has you doing, but you still hadn't seen Jesus. You hadn't crossed the finish line. I might not have these abilities. Well, you know what? There's a lot of abilities I don't have, but you guys make up for them. That's the great part. I mean, I appreciate Eddie. I had a plumbing issue. Eddie came and fixed it. He had the right tools. He knew what to do. By the way, it's still good, Eddie. No leaks. We all have different things we can do. Don wired a plug for me. We still got one step to go, but it works. I don't know what I'm doing. I'd electrocute myself. We need each other. We need each other spiritually, as well as other areas of our lives. What are areas in your life where you may be facing challenges or feeling stuck? Listen, you need to pray for the perseverance and the strength to keep running the race of faith and to trust in God's plan for your life. I mean, there are times when you run like a deer. There are times when you're out of breath. There are times when you take a breath. There are times when you're on the ground crawling, but keep crawling. Keep going forward because the sun will come out eventually. There are times when you don't know what God has in store for your life. Eventually, you will see it. Keep going in his direction. Fourth, how can we recognize and overcome spiritual complacency? Complacency can hinder our spiritual growth and it can lead to spiritual stagnation. You know that word complacency? Most of us understand what its definition is. Spiritual complacency is a state of satisfaction or contentment in our current level of spirituality. Let me give that to you again. Spiritual complacency is a state of satisfaction or contentment in our current level of spirituality without actively seeking growth. Are you actively seeking to grow? You know, sometimes we got Christians walking around like, I've been a Christian all my life, and I got this. No, you don't. You are far from good. Because I will promise you, God will give you something fresh and new every day and teach you something more about him and more about you if you will take the time to dedicate yourself, to be responsible, and to be accountable to grow in your grace. Ask yourself if you've become complacent in your walk with Christ. And if you have, then take some steps to break out of the comfort zone and to pursue deep intimacy with the Father. See, this can include trying new spiritual practices, joining one of those small groups, a D group or Sunday school, or serving in a new ministry. It can give you a fresh new experience. I've seen that. In fact, fresh is good. Bonnie and I worked together with the high schoolers in Awana. That was a fresh take for Bonnie. I love what the Lord told her. After the first day, Bonnie's like, no, I'm where I need to be. This is where I'll be. So we've had a great time being a part of these young high school ladies' lives in Awana. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, come on, Bonnie, you got it. And she does. Boy, she'll take it and run. I love seeing things like that. So what does the Bible say about continuing to grow in our walk with Christ? See, the Bible emphasizes the importance of continually growing and nurturing our faith. God desires for us to constantly deepen our relationship with him and grow in our understanding and our knowledge of him. So how do we do that? You have to commit daily Did you hear me? Daily commit to seek and study God's word. Daily commit to being that praying person and to serving others with love. This will help us to continue to grow and to mature in our walk with the Father. Finally, as Christians, we must continually strive to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ and not become stagnant and not become complacent by taking personal responsibility, by persevering through the challenges and actively pursuing this deeper relationship with God. We can overcome the spiritual stagnation that may have gripped us at this particular point. Let's remember the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Think about that. Where are you in the walk? Listen, we've all been there. You know, some of you today, even the Holy Spirit said, "How did I get here?" Some of you are workers, buddy. You have worked it to death and you've worshiped none. See, you can actually do all of the right things for all of the wrong reasons. Where do we stand on that today? Now, let me go back and say one other thing as I close. Back in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." I heard an interesting take on this. Yeah, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's saints. We're each other. We're watching each other. It's interesting that what a perspective, and I don't know this to be true. I'll tell you, look, I'm not the smartest theologian in the world by any stretch of the imagination. But I heard a preacher say one time, he said, "But what if that also meant the kingdom of heaven? Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses." You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, "Preacher Roy, give them heaven today. I'm cheering for you. Come on, baby, we can do this." And Silas is saying, "Roy, stop whining. Look, I was locked up in prison and in chains and they beat me. And you're whining because somebody called you something. Come on, big boy, let's go." We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know that they're the heavenly beings. They could be. It says surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Obviously, it's those that we profess Christ to. I do believe that there are those in heaven who are rooting for us. And people say, "Well, I don't want your opinion, Roy. Tell me your facts." Okay, well, let me give you a fact. The fact is that the Word of God tells us that there is rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of one soul. I believe that there are things that the saints in heaven are privileged to know about on earth. I really do. I believe God lets our loved ones see our victories and root for us. I've said before, you've heard me talk about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I said, when it comes down to conviction in your heart in regard to salvation, I believe all of heaven is rooting for you to make the right choice in trusting Jesus, but all of hell is also rooting for you to make the right choice to trust Jesus because they don't want you to be there. Remember in that story what it was that the rich man said? The rich man said, "Look, I have five brothers. Send Lazarus to tell them that they won't have to suffer this torment." And the comment was, "Nope, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they won't hear one who had come back from the dead." Let me tell you, all of a sudden you find out how real things are when you exit this world and enter the next world. So think about that for a minute. We're surrounded. There are people cheering for us today. Isn't that cool? We are surrounded. I saw a painting one time that I loved, and it shows a preacher, and he's standing in a pulpit, but it also shows a lot of the old saints, you know, Paul and Peter. Have y'all seen? Yeah, Paul, I think, has seen it. And they're standing there just kind of praying for him and encouraging this preacher in the unknown realm of things that we cannot see. Folks, there's spiritual battle going on in your life right now. If you don't see it, then Satan's got you exactly where he wants you to be, paying no attention to it. There is spiritual battle. The saints want you to win. The cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, here's what I want to say about that. I think that's the easiest part of this. If we know the things that hold us back and we focus on those, then we can do well at working on those particular things that we see. We can lay aside the things that we understand are the weighty things that are holding us back. It's the things that we don't see, I think, that create the problem. I think the weight comes from places that we don't understand, that's not prevalent in our lives. Let us lay aside, verse 1, every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want to encourage you today to keep running. Keep running. Well, preacher, I'm tired. Keep running. I don't know if I can make it. Keep running. And when you can't put one foot in front of the other, then folks, as a brother or a sister in Christ, we need to come alongside and carry them. The Marines don't leave anybody behind, do they, Gunny? Nobody gets left behind. If one goes down, the others come around him, and the others pick him up, and the others carry him. We're going to finish this thing together. Sometimes you're the one that goes down and needs carried. But sometimes you need to be the one who is carrying. That points me back to the story of the Good Samaritan. The two that should have been most likely to have helped that Samaritan, or helped that the one down on the path. The two that should have. The two that was their credo and their people walked right past him. And the one, the Samaritan, that would have been the least likely to have helped out was the one who stepped up and helped. We need to do this together. We don't leave anybody behind. I know in the old days it used to be that if a soldier went down, the first guy by grabbed his rifle, the second guy by grabbed his pack, and the third guy by grabbed him. And you kept going, one foot in front of the other. So how do you do that? Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That's how. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, you know what, people? He's like, I have expectations of you. I expect some things out of my children. We're family. It's so interesting that oftentimes growing up, how many of y'all grew up in a big family? Big family. Did y'all ever like fuss and fight with your brothers and sisters? Like every day? A couple times a day, yeah. I mean, you get along, but you rub each other the wrong way, right? You love each other, but you irritate each other. The family of God is no different. Sometimes we get irritated with each other, don't we? But we always need to love each other. And we always need to be there for one another. No matter what. Brad, I'm going to ask you and the musicians, if you would, to take your place as we consider our time of invitation, God's invitation to you. What is it that he has placed in your heart? You know, the most important thing, most important decision you will ever make on this planet is whether or not you are going to trust Christ, whether or not you are going to give your life over to him, whether or not you are going to allow him to become everything that he wants to be in your life. Surrender is not always easy. The first question is, have you trusted the Lord? I didn't ask again. I always have to say this because the given culture that we're in. I don't care if you checked a box off on a flyer that went out. I don't even care if you came up and prayed with a pastor. Was it a genuine conversion experience? There's a lot of folks who say, well, you know what, I think I trusted Christ when I was younger. And I've had conversations. I'm like, well, why? Tell me about it. And then all of a sudden, when it get down to the brass tacks, that's what everybody else was doing. The Spirit moved on a person or two, and then all of a sudden, the other ones didn't want to get left out. That wasn't a conversion experience. And those that said, well, you know, I was kind of shotgunned through baptism. Well, you didn't get baptized. You got wet. So what are the decisions? Listen, not what Roy says. What's the Holy Spirit telling you today? Listen, I want you to stop what you're doing right now if you've never trusted Christ and you feel the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart's door. That's the telltale sign. If that's you today, then simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Jesus, to follow you. Amen. Now, if you meant those words, that's the beginning. That's the introduction. Here's the handshake. Yeah, that was me going, so-and-so, God. God, so-and-so. I'm going to walk away. Y'all get to know each other. How do you get to know each other? It's not a trick question. Prayer. His word. Biggest, greatest love letter you ever got in your life. His word. Read it. It's for you. Study it. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. That is the most important decision you can ever make. Maybe today you have found yourself in the stagnant, stinking pond of mediocrity. And today, the Lord has called you out. What will you do? What commitments will you make with Him? What responsibilities will you take? What accountabilities will you put in place to make sure that God's will is everything and has every chance to be able to come true in your life? As always, I've said before, I'm a firm believer in the old altar. I'm a firm believer in the altar call, which is what we're going to have in just a moment. If you need me, you need to talk to me, I'll be right here. If you need this altar, it is right here. But would you join me as you pray for yourself and others as we stand to sing our invitation hymn number 317, Only Trust Him, as Brad leads us. What it is that God has placed on your heart. Don't leave this place with that burden. Make sure you take care of it before you leave this place. I'm going to ask at this time that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Worship you by giving back that small portion that you have asked us to return to you. Lord, I pray that as always we will be found faithful in doing so, that our lives may be blessed and that we may be obedient and trust you for all that we have. Lord, help us to be wise and good stewards of what is yours at Central Baptist Church. Help us, Father, to utilize it in the manner in which you see fit, that others may come to know you and enter the kingdom of glory. So, Lord, bless this offering, the gift as well as the giver, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. They do. I'm going to talk really fast because I know y'all are hungry and want to get out of here. But I have like a half a page of stuff that, I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on. But first of all, I do want to mention those that are having birthdays this week. John Willard is having a birthday this coming Wednesday, July the 31st. And then this coming Friday, August the 2nd, Angel Pinson and Ruby Stoltz will be celebrating another trip around the sun. So be sure to let them know you appreciate them, how much you love them, and how much they mean to you in your life. Don't show any anniversaries this week. We're on the summer break for the men's disciple life or men's D life. That will start back up after Labor Day. But there is a Sunday evening discipleship Bible study right here with Pastor David in the classroom number 5. If you come in the front doors, turn left, go up the steps, through the doors, and it is the second classroom on the left-hand side. So just follow the voices, and you'll be able to find them. So that'll be Pastor David's Bible study, 6 o'clock tonight and every Sunday. Wednesday, as always, there's the 10 o'clock men's fellowship at the Olympic in Colfax. There's no agenda. It's just a time of fellowship, and the guys would love to have you for that. There is also a Bible study at Roger and Don Ree's house. That is every other Tuesday, the next one is August the 6th, if that's not it. Oh, that's right, we're still holding right now, right? Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Okay, this coming Tuesday, if you'd like to be a part of that from 12 to 1 o'clock at Roger and Don Reed's house, if you need some more information, Pastor David or Paul Johansson, who is teaching out of the book of Daniel, we'll be able to let you know. And that's Paul. Wait, Paul. That's Paul. If you want to know more about going over at Roger and Don Reed's, they can fix you right up. Ladies' breakfast. There's going to be a ladies' breakfast on the 14th of August at Cagney's on Friendly. So mark that on your calendar, ladies. And then there's also the ladies' connections. That is actually going to be on the 7th. And that will be in the Fellowship Hall conference room, which is right across from the kitchen. Now, the new conference room right across from the kitchen. That'll be at 6 o'clock on the 7th of August. Don't forget the Revolution Upper School or High School will actually start school on the 14th of August from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have said if folks would like to fill out to be a substitute teacher, you can go onto their website. They would love to have substitute teachers when needed, and you can find that from their site. Also, a wedding announcement. The Criders are inviting everyone to attend the wedding of Amy, their daughter Amy, that's Amy right there, and her husband-to-be, Christian Kahn, on October the 4th. That's 10-4 for those of you that need an indicator like me. In Martinsville, Virginia, we need to RSVP by August the 1st. Don't be Baptist. If you're going, put it down there. Let them know you're coming. Need to RSVP by the 1st of August. Information is in the narthex out there, so you can look at that. Health and Safety has a meeting today in that conference room, which is FLC 116, right across from the kitchen. Also, the nominating committee has placed a non-rotating team list in the narthex and sanctuary. If you wish to be removed or added to a team, please let a member or the chairperson of the nominating team know of your wishes. These are the non-rotating teams. So if you want to be a part of one or you want to come off of one, you can let them know about that. Also, we are Central Baptist and Awaken are combining to sponsor a Piedmont Association discipleship boot camp on October the 6th. Okay, for those of you that are doing discipleship material, D Life, the author of that book and his wife are actually going to be the ones that will be here. They will do. We're going to do a combined service on Sunday morning the 6th. With us and Awaken, Bill Wilkes, the author of this book, will actually be preaching that particular day. And then there's going to be an associational-sponsored training event that evening here at Central Baptist. You'll get a little bit more about that as far as being able to sign up and be a part of that. There's a registration and a cost. 15 might be a little high. We're still discussing that at this point, but we'll let you know more as it comes up. But this is the small group discipleship stuff that I'm doing, Maury's doing, Steve's doing with our groups, and it has been just a phenomenal opportunity there. Also, August the 11th, Awaken is actually going to do a presentation of Jesus in Your Living Room from 5 to 8 p.m. in the gym. There'll be more information to come, but they are inviting us to be a part of that. As the Spirit leads you. Then Awana is actually going to start back up on September the 15th from 5:30 to 7. We do need some helpers as well as some kids along the way. If you can help out or need to know anything, you can talk to Jana or Jimmy McDonald, and they can get you any information needed. Registration forms also are on the website at our website at www.oakridgecbc.org. So if you're going to have children as part of that, you can bring them on down. The women's retreat's coming up. October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. You can see Marsha or Mari. Marsha probably has her hands full right now taking care of Ernie, but that's Mari right there. So Mari could let you know if there's any information that you need today. I think last I heard there were still two openings. So Mari can let you know on that. Then also next Sunday, August the 4th, after church, there will be a meeting of the greeters in room 6. Is that down here?
First room on the left.
Down here. That's where David does his Bible study thing. Oh, the first room. David's second. I keep messing that up. Anyway, it'll be right over there. Next Sunday, greeters, short meeting right after church. As you can tell, there is a lot going on. Get that auctioneer thing going on. So if you have something that needs to go on down here, you need a room, event, whatever, please, please let us know. Get it on the calendar, because just about all the space in our facility is being utilized for one thing or another, which is a really, really good thing. With that, Pastor David, come on up, see us off in a word of prayer, and I'm praying God's going to bless you in a great, great way as you serve and as you follow Him.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had of being in your house today, together as the family of God, to worship you, to hear the word. God, we pray that you will help us to take your word and hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against you. And Lord, that we would use what we get from your word on a daily basis to live in this world that we live in and to be a witness for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.